This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Thank you so much for being here again. Welcome back to Hannah Worldwide and Friends, the podcast where traveler, experts, and adventurer share their stories. If you want to learn about what it's like living in another country, you want to experience a new culture, or you just love to travel, this podcast is for you. Or maybe you need to get out of your comfort zone, and this podcast might be the inspiration you need. You can find me on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi everyone, please welcome with me Angelo Minelli from Italy. Angelo made his way to New Zealand, where I met him like around 5.5 years ago, and he has been here in New Zealand and in Italy and probably all over Europe as well. But I'm so glad we finally made it happen to record an episode together and talk about his specialty, which is wine. I've learned that your family is owning their own vineyard as well in Italy. So that's pretty cool. That's probably where the interest came from. But welcome to this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for this special invitation. Thank you so much. I'm so happy.
So do you mind just telling us a little bit about how you grew up in Italy, how it was for you with like being part of this whole vineyard wine business, and what made you decide to go into the same business and work with wine as well?
Yeah, my life is a little bit fascinating sometimes, full of surprises, full of unexpected even mentorship or people that I met through the way that inspire me in a way, they guide me and they just give me like some direction. Really lucky because happened everything when I was like really young, and I just kind of in a way burned bridges, so I could like lead some position or having like a better clear ideas in terms of what I want to do since I was like probably 18, 19, like really young. But by the way, I'm coming from a really simple family, traditional family, growing up like in a village, not completely in, we say countryside, but countryside is far away compared to what New Zealand is countryside. For us, countryside is just a place outside the city. Yeah. It's a village, 10 minutes far from the main city, but you still have like a relationship with the family and with community is more genuine. It's more like a simple, everyone knows anyone. And village at that time probably was 10,000 people. It's not really small, but it's still like mentality is really, you know, in Italy, we tend to use this word that is called campanilismo. Campanilismo is coming from... the word is coming from campanile. Campanile is tower, because every town has a tower, no? Every village has a town, and usually the town is where is the church or where is the council. It's coming from the Middle Age, no? The rich family, they build towers just to show the presence or the power. But nowadays, the term of campanilismo, tower, is more related to tradition and linkage with a community, affiliation, I want to say, or talking about a specific dialect. In Italy, we have so many dialects, hundreds, and each dialect reflects a different domination. We have, like, country has a... slightly more than 150 years ago, they make a unification before it was a several kingdom. And basically, we have French, Spanish, German, Austrian. So everyone was across Italy, and that make a huge influence in terms of our living, in terms of our food, in terms of how we drink, in terms of how we speak dialect. So, and that is basically campanilismo. That is the way how we are, and that form is more like strong and really present still nowadays in a village, and where there is like a strong sense of community. As I said, everyone knows everyone, so you get all the time like a kind of source of big brother. Everyone look at you, they know who you are, where you come from, what do you do. And this is where I grew up, with a family, not really big, I want to say, but with a concept of really respect each other, live with simplicity, and have contact with the nature, not doing farming. My parents, they used to do farming as, I want to say, more for hobby, passion, because I believe that it's pretty well known that living rely on basically agriculture is really hard. You can afford to have a proper income or regular to grow up a family. So my father used to have like a regular job, like my mom, and on the weekend they start with a small plot of land that luckily we inherit many years ago, and from there they start to cultivate that dream. And for us, as coming from a family, I have four siblings, so we all the time try to help in a way how we could, in a way how, you know, going up in a small farm and, you know, feed the animals if we have animals, or try to help maybe little harvest of some cherries, apricots, or whatever comes in the farm. I starting from there, not having probably a circular or connection, I want to say certain kind of connection, like living in a village, probably I'm in contact with my neighbor, but my neighbor likely is not a doctor, is not a lawyer, has a job probably like my father did, or work, has a small garden, you know. Not having like a better understanding of what is life or what could be, I grew up with that doubt in terms of like, but this is beautiful, I love my life, but I believe there is something, there should be something more. And I grew up with that conviction, like when I was really 4, 5, 6, I don't know, it was in my mind. And I remember a strong curiosity of traveling. I remember that we had an encyclopedia. An encyclopedia, back in the day, they have so many pictures. And I remember that my idea, and that's so funny, my idea, there was like this encyclopedia about geography, and I was looking the last volume. The last volume was Oceania, was Australia. I was all the time looking kangaroo, but I don't know, I was there at 7. And by the way, I did my study, and when I finished my my school, it was time to move to high school. It was a huge experience to move from town to the city, to the nearest city. And was probably for me, 15, 14, first experience to embrace a different level of community. It's more like the city, you can be slightly be anonymous, I want to say it's definitely bigger. You need to be like probably more careful, even if our city, they are like pretty safe. I forgot to mention that I was talking, but I'm coming from north of Italy. We are like an hour far from Milan, just to give an idea, 40 minutes far from Verona, near Garda Lake, Dolomites on the north, so plenty of activity. We are like nestled in a flat in Pianura Padana, we say, but we are nearby all the Alps, so plenty of ski. The lake is so cool, beautiful vibe, so there is a little bit of everything. And in that kind of context, in that background, I want to say that moving in a city, it was a challenge for me for 5 years, completing the high school. And, and yeah, my life was pretty simple, but I start with a few money that I save to try to learn better English, even if the level of teaching was my first language is French, but I try to invest a little bit of money, even if it was hard. I couldn't find that kind of level of quality in terms of learning. Yeah. But I just learned just the basics, really basics, something that probably won't be even useful to emigrate or to move or to travel. It was like a really, really basic level. Right. Finished the high school. I was keep going, working in a farm, helping like on the weekend and do as I could. And finishing my teachers, they say, but you should go for university. And for me, I didn't know anyone that studied at uni. I was the first one. And it was like, well, I don't think so that I can go to uni because I believe that uni is top study. And they say, but you should give a go. But I was like weird because uni was in Milan. So it means moving in another big city. So the scale it just increased. And there I decided, yeah, I had the opportunity. Someone called me and they asked me if I want to help. And I went to do a season. First time working in a proper industry that was like a really important company. It's called Cader Bosco. They make an amazing French porta bubble. It was a really luxury company. By that time, I even didn't know. I wasn't aware. I accepted. And I enter like really quiet and really, I don't know, full of eager to learn, but with respect, because the company was like really, it scared me. It was like something that I never experienced, beautiful, but it wasn't my level. I mean, as I said, I used to work in a small farm, and the experience was so great, so beautiful. And yeah, I decided, okay, I want to invest 3 years, study at university, and I study. Really, I couldn't afford to live in Milan. I used to travel every day, but I got my bachelor in viticulture and enology, specifically in Milan with a top grade. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And the company where I started to work 3 years before, we renew our collaboration for 3 years, actually, and after they offer me straight a job. So when I start like as a young guy with a permanent job in condition that where at that time it wasn't so easy to get straight away a permanent position. Definitely I started with, I want to say low level. I wasn't winemaker, I wasn't assistant winemaker. I started like a cellar hand, like a basic. But my director inspired me. He just told me like beautiful thing. And I... and he said, well, you're so young, I advise you to take like probably a lower position for a couple of years, learn how is the process, and from there you will make the jump. And actually was and actually happened what he said. In 2 year time I became assistant winemaker, was collaborate with the general director, and I was even not 30 years old. So because in the meantime I invest even further time. I couldn't attend, but I decided to complete a master in agribusiness. And I was studying and working at the same time. So challenging. For 2 years, I was like really dedicated for study and for work. And work was like maybe sometimes 50 hours per week.
Wow.
And some period was like really long, like a vintage. It could be like for 60 days, can't see anyone. Because it's really important, a company want to grow, want to expand. But it was a fantastic, I want to say, gym experience for me. I learned so much. I learned from top that was available. I work in a top company, and I have everything. I was really extremely happy. And as I said, at 30 years old, because the time passing by, I spent few years there. And at 30, I was already like in a really beautiful top position with a lot of full responsibility. Unusual for the age, the context, the country, all the rules, all the thing that usually we listen, we read on the newspaper, didn't apply to me at all. It was completely a different story. Through the journey, I met so many beautiful people. I get even the chance to manage people that was unusual. I managed people that was older than me. Yeah, I used to manage people that was like already 30 or 40 years, nearly go to the retirement in a company. And I even learned fast how to manage, how to mentor even the people, give like sorts of leadership or try to promote the skill. Beside working even in terms of research and development and try to be more advanced in terms of what we offer, what we produced. And as I said, it was unbelievable. And I was like really happy, and I keep having like a beautiful memories. But in general, with the experience, it was a really challenging experience for me, because it was like from energy point of view, I spend a lot. But when I was 30, I received an offer from New Zealand to come and make a contribution in a winery here. And that's true that the year before that happened this, I accumulate some holidays. And instead to use the holidays, I invest my holidays to study in Melbourne. Wow. Everyone study English in London. And me, I say like, nah.
I saw the kangaroos. I want to go.
I saw the kangaroos, yeah. Consider that the first time that I went to Australia was in 2009 for a holiday, my own holiday. And I never traveled with an airplane before. I was 25, I believe, 26. I took the plane. I went on my own and I traveled. It was so beautiful. Even if my English wasn't great, but I had for, I believe, a month and a half, nearly 2 months, beautiful experience. And in 2014, I say, okay, I want to polish my English, terrible. Even if I study here, I don't see the challenge. I don't want to go to Ireland. I don't want to go to UK. I want to go there. I mean, having like a cool job, it allowed me to travel a lot in Europe, in US. So I travel, so I could see when I was really young many places, and say now that I tick all the box or what I want to do, I want to spend some time study properly. And I went to a business school in Melbourne. And the funny thing that I took the plane, I bought a ticket, I took the plane, and I went to Melbourne and I looked for a school there. Because I saw some school, but I was like, I don't want to put any money. I'm not sure. I just want to go in there and see. And this is like funny. This is really farming stuff. I want to go there and see on the market what is going on instead to just book. But it played and it worked so well. I found like a school that now, unfortunately, a few years ago, they sold it, but it was fantastic. I had so many students that I met there, and I progressed. I spent 3 months, and my level of English was like much, much better. I could write, I could read, I could speak, and it was fantastic. And after that, when I came to Europe, I finished my school and I went back. I received an offer in 2015, at the end of that year, 2014, I received an offer to come to New Zealand and do a vintage here and help. So I say yes. Unfortunately, my company didn't allow me to do that, because it was like, it's kind of too much in terms of taking like a leave for so long. So I decided, with sadness, but I thought it was the time, the right time for me after 10 years, 11 years almost of service to try to do the jump and do something new, something that makes me, as I said, a better person, but not because I wasn't a better person, but it's just like a change. I get kind of feeling or develop like resilience or develop like a thick skin, I don't know, like a different way to approach life.
Yeah, just personal growth, right?
Personal growth, yeah. Pushing a little bit the boundaries. Mm-hmm. Everything that I did, it was great, but I knew now how to do and how to manage. I want to do something new, something that empower me, something even that, okay, here there is not any relation. I'm moving to New Zealand, for example, I don't have family, friend, so I need to play with my cards, and I know my skill. Some skill are top, some skill they can be 9, some skill are 3, some skill are 5, so I can play for what I got. Of course, if the skill that I reckon is 10, it can't be 1, it's 10. Yeah. But if a skill is 2, I need to be honest. I need to work, I need to become 5, then it will be 6, 7, whatever, you know, and improve. So that it was like a really big challenge. And even on a side, like a little bit of sadness, but I decided to move, and I came to New Zealand in 15. And I start to collaborate with a winery in Marlborough. It's called Wither Hills. It's quite famous at the time. It was like on the way of expanding, so it wasn't as maybe now people they can go and visit. It was definitely smaller, and I have my experience there. Completing that experience, someone called me. Because they say, we know that you have experience even in managing a vineyard, so you know how to grow plants. So I was in charge for a few months, leading a team of, I can't remember, it was probably 20. But I was driving around Marlborough region and assessing different block of vineyard and just advise how they should be pruned, how it should be managed. And I did for a short time. They were so happy to have me there. But I say like, no, this is something that already I've done. I would like to move forward. I know how to do. But I would like to do probably something different. That it was my idea. Something that was settled in my mind. But I can't tell you exactly what. And actually, at that time, I received an offer. I received a call because I applied for this job, not knowing exactly what it was the company, but I get that feeling that I should give a go. And that company is called Wine Searcher. That is so famous and well-known. It's an IT company, but they have like a huge database where actually they offer wine. The business model is like a Google. Someone Google it. They found a near, for example, they find a near store that had that wine. So that Wine Searcher doesn't sell any wine. It's just like a point of contact between the merchant that has and the person that is looking. And there I was wine specialist. So I changed, but having like a good background in wine, but I switched into, I want to say, marketing, communication. I was a company where I could experience working in a database and say like, okay, this wine is exactly that style, this it should be. So it was a lot of involved. 80% of the time was wine, 20% was spirits like whiskey and also gin, all the alcoholics. But that experience opened up my level of understanding on the wine style across the world, learning about producer production. So I expand that, and that experience, it was a kind of completion in terms of what I done before, because I was coming from production, and now I was like on the top of the marketing or communication. And the company, one day, they offered me they sent me in Europe to lead a conference in wine. And I wasn't sure because I say I'm not a journalist. I don't feel that I'm a journalist. I'm just a technician. And they say, yeah, but that is great. And by me, I couldn't understand because I never done those before. I was so scared speaking and talking in front of 400, 500 accredited people. It could be like journalists, could be some top sommelier, master wine producer, top producer. It's like, oh my God, they can eat me because I'm like really young. I'm 34. And I 34, 35, and I'm like, you know, they are like, they are in the industry for decades. I'm in the industry for one decade. So I feel like so scared, but I gave a go. It was really successful.
Nice.
And the key, it wasn't because I knew wine. I mean, of course that you need to know and you need to know in terms of what you're talking about, but it's successful. And the key was related to the storytelling. So my story was so personal and was so, the identity that I put is so real. It's not making up. It's not created in an agency. It's just me that took, bring my experience plus the knowledge that I, and the people, they love that.
Yeah.
And I have so much pleasure because people, they accept that and they recognize that from there, I started to do guest lecturing for uni, chances even to work for a little bit for media, to bring like some, based on the contest and based on subject, talk about wine, do the storytelling, communicate, bring even the experience, and it's opened up a new kind of level of career that I didn't thought before and was by chance again.
So
we approached slowly 2020 when COVID happened, unfortunately. Europe was really I want to say severely hit. Italy absolutely a lot, especially the area we're from. Especially at the beginning of the pandemic for the European part. New Zealand, we were lucky, no? Because I was in New Zealand and we were like pretty safe at home, but you know, with no crazy restriction, we could at least walk around the neighborhood. And there, I, during that time, like in 22, something like that, I stepped back. Because after having stepped back from the company, because after 5 years, I realized that I reached like a really solid experience, plus the experience that I was doing with the conferences gave me so much that I decided during COVID, I want to study, but I want to do something that complete my my previous degree. So, as I said, I get a bachelor in winemaking, in viticulture. I did agribusiness, and I complete with a master in business at uni. And to be really honest, it happened because I had a passion for fitness. I'm a person that loves surfing. I love doing sports. And I was in Auckland, and my friend say, hey, in IUT, they do like a small course, like on the weekend. Would you like? And I say yes. And I took it. I lost so much. And that, it helped me to say like, okay, I can go for a master. So it means that my level, I mean, the course that I took it, it wasn't master. It was like probably a level 5, like really basic. But yeah. I don't know. I get a source of understanding how the system works for education in a way. And I say, yes, let's do the master. And I did the master in business in digital technologies. And I transferred that digital competence in the food industry. Because I know, having worked in a company in IT and worked in a production before, that most of the farming, and coming from a farming background, farming is creating like, there is a strong dedication. There is a strong commitment with the land. But there is no commitment in communicate. because there is no knowledge about how I can sell. And most of the time, farmers, they find someone and say, okay, do for me that job. And they are not controlling that process. It's completely apart. Mm. And for me, it was like, I would like to use that knowledge to integrate and to help maybe in the future, who knows, but having like even sorts of understanding how to communicate better and how to use the technology, how to be like in top of business analytics, or all the details of how to run a proper SEO or how to run a proper marketing campaign, but with the mind to promote the agriculture, the wine products, the what we call the niche, the small products that sometimes they are like, we don't know because actually they are not promoted enough or they are like too small.
Yeah.
And I got the opportunity to understand even the system, how it works, how work the university here in New Zealand. I had the opportunity to, because it was a master level, and during COVID, our classes were like so small. Sometimes I have like 10 students, and I was kind to go to a private lesson, and it was so great. I learned so much, and I work even with, because for each paper, I have to compulsory work with a company. And I work professionally with basically six companies in New Zealand with different kind of project, and it was fantastic. I export my knowledge into a new field, and I got like a really deep understanding about the economy here, how it's, and it was like so great, so strategical. And in February 23, I decided to take a year off. I was planning actually, to be honest, to stay a little bit longer in Europe, stay with family, reconnected. I lost my uncle that I love so much, and I don't know, it's kind of not promising, but it's like I want to stay here, I want to commit. And I received like a beautiful offer from a company, Italian company, they want to expand Oceania market. And I say like, this would be cool because Oceania is Australia and New Zealand. I could promote that easily now, you know. In the meantime, I get my citizenship here in New Zealand, so I could travel without any problems, any issues. So I'll be a dual citizen. And I say, yeah, why not? And after 3 weeks that I start working, I receive an unexpected sort of opportunity to come back to New Zealand and be lecture at uni, but lecturing in something again unusual, but it fit for me so well because it's me. Lecturing business, but in culinary arts, and work for Cordon Bleu, that is around the world one of the school top for cuisine, for learning culinary arts. And what I teach here, I teach few subjects because having such an unusual crossover. I do business, I do marketing all the time with oriented to tourism, to hospitality and to food production. But I develop research as well, customer behavior, understand, and that is coming from the digital technology that I did, because when you run a marketing campaign, you need to know the customers, so that's so cool. But beside that, I do a little bit even of research, so it's statistic as well. So for the student, it's important to even understand numbers, qualitative, quantitative approaches. But I do ethic in food, that is fantastic, promote the local, the organic, the animal welfare, the business ethics when you run a business, the corporate social responsibility. Everyone, they need to have a sense of community when do production. And, of course, wine, approach of tasting. I'm not expecting to have master of wine, but I'm expecting people that understand flavors, they can compare flavors, appreciate flavors, critically analyze if what they are eating and drinking is good or isn't a good standard for what we're talking about. So it's a sort of pieces and bytes from my experience. It's just
and
it's fantastic.
Around
international, like, contest too.
Exactly. Like, wine made you go around the world, and also still is, I feel like wine is still the essence of you, but you really spread out and just did whatever, and every new opportunity gave you a new chance to learn something completely different and a new skill. And it's like crazy how you start in Italy, go around, go to New Zealand, come back to Italy, come back to New Zealand. And do you have any idea what you see or where you see yourself in the future? What skill you would like to learn, or what country you would like to live in? Like, or is New Zealand or Australia, Oceania your home now?
First of all, I did even a lot of other things on top of that, because I was even promoting and running my family business. I want to just give a bust of that farm and do like production. We do a small wine production, like 2,000 bottles. But now we started many years ago with a few acres. Now we are like 15 hectares, like 30 acres. Just it's increased a lot. But we have even cherry, orchard, apricot, peaches, a chestnut, so it's quite diverse, really sustainable, and really linked to the community. I transferred even my knowledge and my skill, my previous skill from production, especially when I did the planting, choosing the right variety, the best, and try to create something that is not for me. I don't think that is mine. I don't think that it's belong to my family, but it's belong for, I feel that I'm like a director at the moment, but at a certain point, someone else, they take the lead and they carry on. It could be in a family or it could be not, I can't tell you, but it will be something that I'm not thinking in terms of ownership, but I'm thinking in terms of managing. And that is the idea to who will come after. To carry on, and I create that project, the concept in that sense, in terms of, as I said, a project. It's a cool project that need to be nurtured because it's there and it's carried. And that is a beautiful thing that I done, even with the contribution of my family. It's fantastic that I'm really happy and proud, because it gave like a different speed compared what I used to. And where I see myself, Cordon Bleu is a fantastic school where I could even bring together knowledge, research, and community, because my coming from a perspective of, I'm not an academic as a background, even if I study, and even if I consider so important study, so important to receive a really good level. But I'm not coming from an academic background. So, I mean, I wasn't before a lecturer. I was a manager. I was operator. And I'm coming from production. So I want to bring expertise from work. I want to train the future manager. And that's why, for me, solid preparation, solid study, but at the same time bring the leadership, leader and entrepreneur in a school, really, collaborating with the local, like in New Zealand, we are based in Wellington, but with the local sector. For example, for the marketing, we work with Kaibosh. They rescue food. They do like something amazing. And on the Mother's Day, we organized like a fancy high tea. Everything was like by donation. But, you know, the student was involved in the preparation of the concept, like creating and deliver the high tea. but it was even involved in promoting the marketing strategy, how promoting, how to create a concept, how to run a marketing strategy from the beginning to the end, and then critique. After the event, what was wrong? Actually, the event was tiny, was 50 seats, but was successful, sold out. Actually, we couldn't even offer more because the space that we have available. But the student, they learn in terms of, okay, we can repeat twice, we can repeat bigger because we have knowledge. And that it was like through the collaboration. That is an example. But now I'm working, and this semester I will start the wine course, and I start ethic in food and wine. So I will I'm already set it up to work with a BioGrow, with a company that they make certification in terms of sustainability and good production, and work even with some producer. They are coming and they showcase and they give the concept why, how they consider, for example, animal welfare, how they consider an organic production. And that it would be really interesting because the student, they like practically learn. And they take that experience maybe back home when they finish, or maybe in New Zealand. There are a lot of projects, and even a project that we are working and that actually in designing a master program, so a level 8, level 9, highest level that doesn't exist in New Zealand. So, and likely we'd start in 2025. So we are designing a new project, and that is a huge sense of responsibility. Tell you why, because you are creating a concept in education that it need to work and need to be applicable in the workplace for the future. So you are, it's like to have a clay and work on it and give the form, and that form need to be valid for the work, because student, they need to be actually into a workplace after, no? So we need to create the concept, and we need to create even topics that are relevant and they are not dusty. They are not out of the place, and kind of sense of responsibility, because it's a huge, huge work. But it's such, even here, it's such unusual, because most of the time as a lecturer, you are not involved in design and program, you're lecturing. So here is another level. So we are working on it. So we are pretty confident.
That sounds pretty awesome. So you stay in New Zealand for now, and do you see yourself in the future staying here, or where do you see yourself?
It's really, sometimes life can be, you know, Columbia has so many schools around the world. They have 30 schools around the world. Some are in Australia, some in Asia, some in Latin America, in Europe. So it could be possible that they need in another school to develop something and I'm moving. It could be even that some business school, they are like, they want to develop some part or some program. I don't know. I would like to do a little bit of research more, because I believe it would be beneficial to create a sense of connection. I don't like when academy, is really completely unrelated to the workplace or the work sector. So that is what I would like to create, like a zip that make like the link. That's my idea. I believe that that maturity in terms of experience, in terms of what I done, is it could be leading that direction. But I'm all the time even keep an eye on a project that it can arise at the time, and it could be like really challenging. I'm look all the time for challenge, because it's for my brain. I have like a strong curiosity, and I want to be like, okay, maybe I can contribute. I can just give you like something, and that something is coming from all sorts of my experience. That is not even New Zealand, Australia, it's not Europe, it's a little bit of everything. And when you travel, I say before, I decide to travel to be a better person, yes. But at the same time, when you travel, some people, they ask me, let's see in this way. Some people, they ask me, what do you like and what you don't like? And me, I said, honestly, yeah, there are some aspects that I don't like in Italy, but there are some aspects that I don't like in New Zealand. But me, personally, I take what I like. So I fill my box for what it makes me happy and it really works for me. So in any place, I take the positive and I grab like what is worth. So in that sense, as I put together, after I deconstruct when I need it, because those are the skills that I learn. So basically, that has helped me to be a better person, because I take what I like. So, and that's, if you ask me how you feel, I mean, I'm really happy to have education that is European, not Italian, European, because I get the sense of belonging, history, culture, taste of arts, taste of fashion, that is really Italian, taste of music. But I have even the freedom here to have more time for me. There is more Saturday and Sunday. In Europe, there were less. There is more like sense of kind of lay back or chill. In Europe is more pressure. Here there is more sense of public works for you. If I need something, I'm not in a queue for ages to pay or to ask. And here they answer me the question or they email me. I save so much time. It's so easy to get along with the bureaucracy. In Italy, it's like unbelievable. It's something that doesn't make sense at all. So it's just like, yeah, I take what I like. Of course, there are things that culturally, they shock me in terms of the level of how I grew up in a place of Italy where I grew up. I believe they probably is wealthy. But wealthy doesn't mean that I come from a rich family. Wealthy is like, with my money, I can buy everything that I need. And honestly, I can travel anytime I want. Here, traveling is more challenging because it's more expensive. Or maybe it's so expensive even to buy food. Because some people here, not personally, but some people, they struggle because they don't have money to buy food. And I saw poverty that I never seen in Italy, because where I come from, there is not that level of poverty, or not affording to live in a proper house that is like with a standard, you know, like warm, not humid. And this is something that I can't understand. So let's see, it just doesn't exist the perfect place. But as I said, I take what is great for me and works, and what is good. So my judgment, my evaluation is just by case, pretty much, and by put on scale with honesty, with integrity, with honesty, honestly. And as I said, why honesty? Because I'm honest. When I applied for a job, when I arrived here many years ago, it was like, this skill is 10 and it's not negotiable. This skill is 1 because I recognize that it's 1 and I need to work on it. So same. Probably the British way of living, it gave me like more sense of be cynic, I want to say, in terms of this is right, this is correct, this is like a balance. But the heart and the feeling, that is really Italian. And when you do business, you can't be too much in feeling, because it won't be great for the business. But I believe that when you do a business, you can't be too much cynic as well, because it's not counting the penny and it's more storytelling. That is what is the powerful. So with that, I probably close the... Yeah, I give you everything, all the information.
Oh, yeah, 100%. You really round up your whole story. So thank you so much. I feel like we've heard everything and in all sorts of directions, and it's just such a nice roundup. And I finish every episode with the quick 3 questions. So I definitely want to get you onto that as well. And they are called quick three questions because they are usually just one word or one sentence, so more rapid. But before we start, I definitely want to thank you already for your time and effort and for giving me your whole story and sharing it with us today. So thank you so much, Angelo.
Thank you. I hope that it could be inspire someone or the people at home, the audience, could be like useful, could be inspiring, could be education as well. So yeah, it's a little bit for everything.
I'm sure, like, at least for me, I did not know what you could do with the background of with wine and what your education was. You can really spread out and you just take on opportunities. So it's pretty nice to see how one step can lead to another step, can lead to something completely different. And it's just really cool to see. So
really coherent, I want to say, because at the end of the days, we are still talking about wine, food.
Exactly, it's the same. This red line, always the same, but spreading out in different directions. So, yeah, very cool. All right, question number one. What do you miss the most from Italy?
Probably, I believe arts. Yeah, art, architecture. I'm really into all the time that I see a building, I see the symmetry, the geometry, like the style. It's just like me, I have a passion for things well done. Like even an artisanal things that's unique. Yeah, I miss that. Yeah, I miss that.
Fair enough. We're set. Question number two. What food place would you recommend to people here in Wellington?
Oh my God. I'm not a person that love Italian food abroad, you know what I mean? I won't say like go to an Italian place, just like, nah, it doesn't work. I really like the place like Rosella, it's my favorite. High Water, Grace, Margot, they are like little tapas wine bar with like nice concept, supporting local. All the time the menu change, but it's linked to local production and seasonality, and they have like a nice wine list to pairing with, so really nice, cozy, and nice. Yeah,
awesome, thank you so much. And last question for you, what would be the activity you would recommend someone who is coming to Wellington for the very first time?
Which activity? Could be probably a couple. One is hiking, because there are so many hills, even Mount Victoria, so beautiful, and see Wellington from there. It's beautiful, it's fantastic, it's free, so it's really cool. And if you like a little bit of history, Te Papa Museum is something like really beautiful. I love the museum in Auckland as well, but I believe it's really, really well done, really organized, and it gives you even the sense of, you know, Maori embrace that value and community as well, plus a little bit of history. They have like a nice section talking about immigration, how enriched New Zealand, and I think it's cool, yeah.
It definitely is. When I went, I really enjoyed it as well. So, yeah, highly recommend it too. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
And this was your episode. Thank you so much for being a part of this and sharing it. And I hope everyone who is watching and listening enjoyed it as well and could take something from it. And I hope I hear you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you. Ciao.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.